Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's June 25th, 2026, and that means there's 6 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to go way, way back to 1776, and we're going to learn about America's first Christmas. We're also going to list the top five American Christmas traditions that seem strange to folks outside the U.S. We're going to mix patriotism and Christmas spirit into a musical treat, and we finally named this segment with no name. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, Yule Believers, to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host, stand-up comic, and red-blooded American, Tim Babb. And because today is June 25th, that means it is Leon Day, which means it's time for the official Leon Day Carol. We are officially halfway to Christmas as of today. Even though the weather couldn't feel further from Christmas, we are technically much closer than we were in winter. You can think of it as spending Christmas in Zanzibar with the Zanzibarbarians. Speaking of Zanzibar, here's a fun fact about...
No, stop!
Who are you?
I'm Uncle Sam. I'm surprised you didn't recognize me. I have a very distinctive outfit.
Yes, you do. And I want to say a New York accent for some reason?
During the War of 1812, a meat packer named Samuel Wilson from New York sent barrels of beef to the U.S. Army. He stamped the barrels U.S. for United States, but the soldiers started referring to the barrels as Uncle Sam. So, TLDR, I'm a New Yorker, baby! Nixon 5!
Is this what New Yorkers sounded like in the early 1800s? Or... you know, ever?
Why are you yammering on about Zanzibar?
Why not?
Because you're an American! You live in America! All year you've been doing nothing but talking about other countries!
I mean, I literally did a feature about a U.S. president in February.
Ukraine, Denmark, Ireland, Liberia, Norway! What are you gonna talk about some American Christmas?
Oh, right now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this episode is coming out a few weeks before the 4th of July, America's Independence Day. But not just any 4th of July. This year marks America's 250th birthday. So the entire episode, we'll be talking about America at Christmas.
Oh, well, I guess... wait. What's that noise? Oh, no. He's gonna sing a song.
America at Christmas time.
Christmas time.
There is nothing more sublime.
More sublime.
From NYC to Anaheim.
Anaheim.
When we do Christmas here, we do it right. We shop till we drop, Hallmark and football all day. Eating the yams like yeah, drinking the nog like yeah. We invite family, they get into fights, but it's all gonna be okay. Yeah, it's Christmas in the USA. Yeah, it's Christmas in the USA.
Officially say I regret interrupting. Good luck with your show. So long.
You're not gonna want to leave yet, Uncle Sam, because I think you're really gonna like our first segment. We need a little Christmas now.
We need a little Christmas now.
So I've had this one in my back pocket for years. It's a song that puts Christmas spirit and patriotism in a blender to make a delicious red, green, red, white, and blue smoothie. Take a listen. It will sound familiar, and then it will sound familiar, but in a different way. Yeah. Yes, that is the song Stars and Stripes for Christmas, where they take the John Philip Sousa song, Stars and Stripes Forever, and mix it with not just Jingle Bells, which you just heard, but also Angels We Have Heard on High and the Hallelujah Chorus. Finishing it off with We Wish You a Merry Christmas. It was arranged by Robert E. Foster in 2003, and I love the big and small ways it incorporates Christmas songs into America's national march. Like, listen to this subtle layering of Jingle Bells here, where it doesn't take over, it just adds a little bit of Christmas whimsy. Gotta say, as mashups go, this has gotta be one of my favorite. They took the chocolate of my Christmas and mixed it with the peanut butter of patriotism and created a delicious Reese's Pieces of song. I wanted to give credit for where I first heard about this song to the My Merry podcast, but I believe Jeff has taken the show in a new direction. The new show is called The Christmas Show, and you can listen to it only at MyMerryChristmas.com. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have the back catalog of the My Merry Christmas podcast, so I can't tell you the backstory he provided when he introduced me to this song on his podcast. Well, he didn't introduce it to me personally. He was just doing an episode of his podcast, and I was listening, and, you know, parasocial relationships are a thing. The point I'm saying is, I don't have any more details, but it was Jeff Westover from the My Merry Christmas podcast who first introduced me to this song. I want to say somewhere around 2015, 2016. I just know that's where I discovered it. And speaking of discovering things, several years ago, I was staying at a hotel on New Year's Eve, and we were high enough to see the various fireworks displays going off in the city around us from our hotel window. That's when I discovered you can play your own music over any fireworks display and completely change the experience. With 4th of July coming up, you could easily use this song to give your fireworks viewing experience both a patriotic as well as festive feel. You can even blare it out of your speakers instead of using headphones. Most people will just think you're listening to the normal Stars and Stripes Forever. And here's the real kicker. If someone does catch on and say, hey, Stars and Stripes isn't a Christmas song, you can tell them they're wrong. According to his autobiography, John Philip Sousa wrote the song in a cruise ship sailing back from Europe on Christmas Day. Now, technically, he composed it in his head and didn't actually write it down until he got to America, but that is a detail he felt important enough to mention in his own autobiography. So, Stars and Stripes Forever has its roots in Christmas. Robert E. Foster just helped those roots grow into a full-blown Christmas tree. And now it's time for our countdown feature, Five Golden Things. Things I tend to talk a lot about on this show are Christmas traditions from other countries. Since I grew up here in the US, I wasn't exposed to a lot of these traditions, and they seem strange and interesting to me. But from the point of view of other countries, America has some strange holiday traditions. So on this occasion, I thought it might be fun to take a look at the things we Americans do at Christmas that other countries might think are weird. Now, to be clear, this isn't meant to disparage these customs. Pointing out our differences can be fun. For instance, right now as I'm recording this, we have many visitors from other countries here in the US for the World Cup, and they have taken to social media about the unexpected or unusual things they find here in America. Everything from free refills to Costco to Waffle House. And their reactions range from bewilderment to delight at some of these things. We have a lot going on here that's different from the rest of the world, and that includes Christmas. For instance...
Number 5.
Festivus. You gotta admit, it's weird that a joke on a sitcom became an actual part of some Americans' holiday celebrations. You see, back in the 90s, the TV show Seinfeld introduced us all to a completely made-up holiday called Festivus. It takes place on December 23rd and involves dinner, an unadorned aluminum Festivus pole, the airing of grievances, and feats of strength. On the show, the holiday is a secular alternative holiday in response to the commercialization of Christmas. But people actually have started celebrating this holiday for real in real life here in America. And not just random Seinfeld superfans either. Businesses, sports teams, even the governor of Wisconsin, Jim Doyle, displayed a Festivus pole in the family room of the executive residence in 2005.
Number 4.
Holiday 5Ks. Hey, it's almost Christmas, so let's run for 3 miles, just because. In fact, we're going to close down some streets and get hundreds of people to run around, and many of them will have Christmas outfits. This is a thing people do. In fairness, these events often raise money for charity, so I'm not here to disparage them, but I have a hard enough time getting my lazy stockings off the couch to go caroling. No way I'm running a 5K. Unless my wife wants to do it, in which case I'm all in 100%.
Number 3.
So the Yule log is a tradition that is certainly not unique to America, but the idea of watching it on TV, that's American ingenuity at its finest. It began in a local New York TV station in 1966, when the president of the station decided to give a televised Christmas gift to those residents of New York who lived in apartments and homes without fireplaces. Basically, they just pointed a camera at a fireplace, set the log ablaze, and boom, they had content. It spread to other stations around the country, and even national cable stations got in the act. Nowadays, you have multiple options on most of the streaming services. Netflix has several classic logs. Paramount Plus has something called the Holiday Campfire, which shows a Yule log in front of the Paramount Mountain. And Disney Plus has several different Yule logs, including two themed to the movie Frozen, and one of the lobby of Disneyland's Grand Californian Hotel.
Number two.
Ornaments. Now, obviously, Christmas tree ornaments themselves are not uniquely American. Folks all over the world decorate their trees with delightful ornaments, but usually those ornaments are angels, candy canes, stars, glass bulbs, you know, traditional stuff. In America, we have a cast of thousands on our trees. Mickey Mouse, Iron Man, Darth Vader, Buzz Lightyear, Jake Sully, and that's just Disney's intellectual property. There's still Minions, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, K-pop Demon Hunters. Our trees are full of random stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. And speaking of our ornaments...
Honorable mentions!
The pickle ornament. Way back in the day, I was a guest on Brian Earle's Christmas Past podcast, along with journalist Richard Parks III and Craig Kringle from the Weird Christmas podcast. We talked about the Christmas pickle ornament, which was supposedly a very old German tradition. The pickle was hung somewhere on the Christmas tree, and then the first child to find the pickle Christmas morning would get an extra present. Here's the thing. It's apparently not a German tradition. Most people in Germany have never heard of it. Its origins appear to date to the 1880s, when Woolworth stores started selling glass ornaments imported from Germany, and some were in the shape of various fruits and vegetables. Apparently the pickles didn't sell very well, because someone made up this tradition to get rid of the stock. But now, loads of families hide pickle ornaments on their trees each year, while Germany looks on and says, Nein!
Number one!
Eggnog. Now, even though one of the theories of the origins of eggnog is that it's derived from a medieval drink from England, it's really only popular here in America. And I can't imagine why the American tradition of drinking runny pancake batter hasn't caught on worldwide, but apparently we're the only ones still committed to this. I guess raw eggs just don't quench the Christmas thirst of the rest of the world. And that's my list, but since I myself am American, I had to rely on other folks to tell me which of our traditions are strange. But if you are a genuine non-American listening, and you have any additions or corrections to this list, I'd love to hear them. Send me an email at can'twaitforchristmaspod@gmail.com. And now a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
I know you. You're tired of the same old joy of human compassion, overflowing generosity, and quaint, totally anxiety-free coziness of the holidays. You need Christmas to get a little bit weird. I'm Craig Kringle, and I've got you covered. On the Weird Christmas Podcast, I talk to a never-ending garland of writers, historians, filmmakers, and rampant weirdos who do their best to make sure we don't forget just how beautifully odd this holiday can be. We cover everything from Krampus to Christmas werewolves, the real winter elves like the Scandinavian Tomten and Nissa, to Iceland's 13 Yule Lads. And every year we share a good old traditional Christmas ghost story to keep things festive. I also host an annual flash fiction contest so we don't have to read Dickens again. So if you're a real traditionalist who wants Christmas to get back to its roots of creepy monsters, acknowledging the frozen, lifeless heart of winter and eating animal heads, come over to the Weird Christmas Podcast. Or check out WeirdChristmas.com and all the surreal vintage postcards I share on social media. So Merry Christmas, and here's hoping Krampus doesn't whip you off to hell.
Welcome back. As I mentioned at the top of the show, America celebrates its 250th birthday in July. Yes, on July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted by the Second Constitutional Congress, and a new country called the United States of America was born. So that means in December of 1776, it was time for baby's first Christmas. But what was America's first Christmas like? Well, let's wind the clock back 250 years and find out.
A merry American Christmas, how happy we should be, as the church bells chime that it's Christmas time in the land of liberty.
Christmas in early America was not celebrated the same way in all states. Despite their newly minted name, United States, there were still many differences and disagreements between the states back then.
So not much has changed.
Fair point. But in those days, there were some wild differences. Many celebrations were mostly religious and based on church. Others would have embraced the idea of fun and making merry. The Puritans of Massachusetts and the Quakers of Pennsylvania wouldn't even celebrate Christmas. But for all their differences, there was one thing that united all 13 original states that Christmas: unease. Although they may have adopted the Declaration of Independence, England had not recognized the United States as a sovereign country, and there was a war ravaging the United States where England was fighting to keep America under its rule. And in December of 1776, that war was not going well for the United States. In August of that year, the Continental Army had been soundly defeated at the Battle of Long Island. They were forced to abandon the island of Manhattan and flee through New Jersey to Pennsylvania. Of the soldiers who weren't captured or killed, many had deserted, and many planned to leave when their enlistment expired. Cold weather, lack of food, and a shortage of warm clothing was making life miserable. So the Christmas spirit in 1776 was overshadowed by a thin layer of dread, a dread that maybe this would be America's first and last Christmas. But what these early Americans couldn't know was that someone was planning to give this new nation a heck of a Christmas present. General George Washington was stationed with his men on the banks of the Delaware River. He knew the United States needed a victory. He also knew that the British army was too formidable to directly engage in a large-scale battle. What they needed to do was wear them down with quick strikes over time. And on that Christmas day, George Washington had a plan, a daring plan. Washington was going to take over 2,000 soldiers across the river in the dark of night and launch a surprise attack on outposts in Trenton, New Jersey. This was risky for a lot of reasons, but keep in mind, they were short on supplies, food, and warm clothing, so this was definitely a risky move. They set off at 11 p.m. Christmas night, and it was not an easy journey. There was a blizzard, and the river was so cold that large chunks of ice had formed. When they were about halfway across, between the ice and the heavy winds, they became stuck. But still, they pressed on. They eventually made it to the other side, but they had taken so long the sun had started to rise. There was a worry that this would have lost them the element of surprise. Yet still, they pressed on. They marched 9 miles in the snow to reach the outpost. And despite the sun being up, they did catch the enemy by surprise. The battle lasted less than an hour, and when it was over, the Continental Army had captured 1,000 enemy combatants, as well as seized their large cache of supplies, food, clothing, and munitions, all desperately needed by the Continental Army. Now, this didn't win the war or anything. The conflict would drag on for nearly another 7 years, but the Continental Army had achieved its first major victory in the war. This brought the fighting spirit back to the Continental Army. So while the first American Christmas wasn't full of celebrations and presents, George Washington did end up giving the young country the greatest gift of all: hope.
May Christmas in America come to everyone, everywhere.
And now it's time for our final segment of today. This segment doesn't have a name yet. Oh, yes, it does, Jingle. The people have spoken. If you're new to this, let me explain. This year, we're going to pick the ultimate Ebenezer Scrooge, but I couldn't think of a name for what to call the segment. So I asked for your ideas, and there were so many great ideas, I put it up for a vote. Then the vote literally resulted in an 8-way tie. So the last time, we had a runoff, and it also resulted in another tie. But you know what? This time it was only 2, so as a compromise, I picked my favorite to name the segment, but I used the other name, incorporating it into the jingle. So, let's hear it!
I'm just ready to have fun!
It's time to pick the one Scrooge to rule them all! It's Scroogeapalooza!
That's right, it's Scroogeapalooza. And now that we have this name thing sorted out, let's actually get the contest started. I would love for you to send me all your favorite Scrooges. Could be from a movie, could be from a TV show, could be live action, could be animated. And crucially, the character does not have to be named Ebenezer Scrooge, as long as they are fulfilling the Scrooge role in the story. Some examples are Bill Murray in Scrooged, Ryan Reynolds in Spirited, Henry Winkler in An American Christmas Carol. Send them in however you like. You can comment on this episode at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. That way you can see what Scrooges your fellow listeners have suggested. Or you can send them in on social media or send them to me in an email. It's all up to you. But send them in soon so we can kick off the first round of voting next time for Scroogeapalooza!
Scroogeapalooza!
And that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Next month is our listener anniversary special, so I'll be reading some listener emails I've been holding on to, but there's still time for you to send in a Christmas question you'd like us to talk about next time. And the sooner you send your questions in, the better, so I have time to do research and get you the best answer. Also, don't forget to send me your favorite Christmas Scrooges. In fact, you can do both things in one email. I'm not fussy. Ain't no rule that says you can't do Scrooges and Christmas questions in the same email. And regardless of what's in your emails, I look forward to reading them. And until next time, you believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2026.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On Blue Sky, we are at Christmas Pod, and on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
So I've had this one in my back pocket for years. It's a song that puts Christmas spirit and patriotism in a blender to make a delicious red and green and wed white and blue. Wed white and blue. I'm practicing talking. I'm Elmo Fudd. No disrespect to anyone who has that genuine speech impediment. Like, listen to this subtle layering of jingle bells here. Jingle bears? I gotta say, as mashups go, this has gotta be one of my favorites. They took the chocolate of my patriotism and the peanut. No. Christmas gotta be chocolate. It began in a local New York radio station in 1966 when the president of the station decided... Did I say radio station? Yep. This TV thing began at a radio station. You chucklehead. I'm
glad I caught it.
What's worse is when I make one of these mistakes and I don't catch it till I'm editing and I have to get the microphone back out and re-record. Way back in the day, I was a guest on Brian Earle's Christmas Past Cup. You could comment on this episode at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com, and that way you could see what Scrooges your feller listeners have suggested. Feller? Your feller listeners! I'm not gonna lie, I spent more time recording and editing and re-recording and re-editing the Party in the USA parody than I did recording this entire episode. Not that I wasn't into this episode, but I was like, oh no, I could tweak it. I'm gonna tweak it. I just kept tweaking it. And like, it is late. I should stop. I'm probably not going to stop. When I absolutely have to post this episode, I will finally stop. But just know, I would have wanted to tweak it even more. But if you ask me if it was worth it, I would say, yeah!